Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Are your ulcerative colitis symptoms proving difficult to manage? Tremfya guselkumab can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. At 1 year, many patients taking Tremfya achieved clinical remission, and some patients also achieved endoscopic remission. Individual results may vary. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor if Tremfya can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Off the Ball Rugby.
The Three Lads in general epitomise what is good at Irish rugby over the past 15 years, you know. Pete is, without doubt, one of the best line-out forwards I've ever played with. Like,
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
How are you doing? And you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. A bank holiday Monday, but a weekend full of action. Boys, how are we today?
Fantastic.
All good. All good. Beautiful St. Patrick's weekend.
You're nice. At the parade earlier, Paddy.
Not in town. No. Down in Blanche Village. So it was a smaller parade. A couple of nieces and nephews were in it. It was great. Very cold, but... Maybe twice ever have been into the actual parade in town. Yeah. Back
you were in a. You were in the parade.
No. Grand Marshal, like no. I've been at the Dublin City Parade twice. Lads, town is fucking hell.
How are we only there twice?
it's diabolical. Like it's if you're from Dublin. The parade in town is a shambles.
Yeah.
Unless, when I was in, late teens and you're drinking.
Yeah. But do you know what's a thing down here is having the parade on a separate day altogether. In Rathmore in Kerry, they had it last Sunday. And in Clenbey, they had it Saturday.
Why?
What's the run? I don't know.
Healy race.
Just to spread it over the weeks, do you know what I mean? Just to get a good run into it. I missed the one in Clarny now as well. I didn't go in.
It's like Trump taking the piss last week, doing all the Patrick's Day celebrations last week because he's not arse, because he's busy outside of that. Like. Paddy's Day, if you're doing anything, do it on the 17th. But no, it was at the Blanchardstown Parade today. Very good. Yeah, little man was looking off there, yeah, waving away at everyone going by.
Well, Killarney, you should have seen Killarney last night, honestly. It was like Magaluf.
It was reckless.
Yeah. I was actually, we were turned away from a couple of bars, like, because they were at capacity, which is like, youngsters, as I thought of these, I was like, so old. All the young ones are on the place. But literally turned away from pubs in Killarney. And then the street this morning, all the lads, absolutely carnage.
But it's good to hear.
Right for the local economy, Jimmy.
It's good to hear that you boys are keeping up with traditions. I stayed a million miles away from parades. I did have half an eye though on the Hogan Cup and Crow Cup finals in TG Cahir, in Crow Park on TG Cahir a little earlier on. Obviously, the club finals used to be on this day, and we've moved away from that. But St. Pat's Mara adding another Hogan Cup to their coffers. They bet St. Coleman's College, Claremorris and Mayo, 2-8 to 4 points.
The last ever game of the old rules, Tom, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that were that I'm aware of. Anyway, clubs obviously have up until May the 1st to implement them, so you might have a couple of stragglers around the country playing the old rules, but that would not be worth the while.
There'll be a few junior games played later this year under the old rules, I feel.
Yeah, I feel so too. And then in the Crow Cup as well, Thurles came back to beat Athenry, so big games there. That was, I think that's 16 years on from Thurston in the last one. So big wins for both schools. Congrats to them both. Some nice football on display, but it was the old rules, as Paddy mentioned. This weekend in the Allianz National Football League, lads, it's very difficult to know where to start because we've got round 7 this weekend. Round 6, it was, trying to predict results this weekend was chaotic. And the pod picks just shows you. We only got one each.
Never back against the Dubs is what the pod pick showed him.
Yeah, so we got one.
Jimmy was trying to set a trap. Set a trap for me.
I was shocked. Go away, we're stacked.
You're working in the morning to catch me out, Jimmy.
Yeah.
But I actually, that's the one game of the weekend I didn't see was Galway and Dublin, but.
Well, we saw it. So we'd fill you in on that in a little while.
Fill me in soon, yeah.
It's solid for that game.
So, Paddy, you can fill us in on that in a little while. You were there. You obviously. We're here to see the return of Stephen Cluxon for his 57th season of intercounty football. In Division 2, I was at Monaghan and Meath. Brilliant win by Monaghan. They were absolutely superb. Park Tolton was just rocking before it. There was a huge crowd there. I'm not sure if you saw the clip online afterwards of Rory Kinsler kicking a two-pointer onto the bank of grass in Park Tolton on the hospital end. And about 742 kids chasing the ball afterwards. They must have been ran. I don't know what happened, but they must have been ran afterwards because for the next two-pointer, they were nowhere to be seen. But that was the highlight from a Meath perspective, at 129 to 121. But we'll talk about that a little later too. In Division 3, Kildare falling short again against Offaly, who have now put themselves in the perfect position. Kildare are still in a really good position. We'll go through all the permutations in a couple of minutes. Yeah, and Antrim pretty much look like they're down after Sligo pulled off that win up in Carrigan Park. But Kildare now are playing Offaly this weekend. Clare need to win that game by 11 points to flip the score difference on its head against Offaly. So, an unenviable challenge. Also in Division 3 this weekend, lads. We had a game postponed, and I want to start there. I want to start with Leitrim and Fermanagh. James, this news came through on Saturday. Like, did it surprise you?
The fact they weren't going to field the team.
Mm.
I was shocked. I honestly couldn't believe it. Like, there are so many avenues you can go down to avoid the embarrassment of that for the whole county. Like, not fielding a team is worst-case scenario, in my opinion. Now, there is, obviously, they have the 20s game during the week, so they're going to be missing a lot of players from that. Okay, and obviously, they were obviously taking a stand as well to not play. That's fine. But, like, there's surely players around the county that would be crying out to get a run out for the county team and field a side. Now, obviously, you are ringing fellas to come and play maybe, and you're kind of saying to them, look, we're taking a moral stance here. You're probably going to get beaten, but come and play. But, I mean, there must be fellas crying out for a chance to play, and next thing they're getting notification that they're after throwing the game. I personally was shocked, and I think was very disappointed that they did that, and I was very surprised, I must say.
Yeah. Look, the statement came out just after midday. Word had kind of started filtering through that there was something coming. And just after midday, Leitrim GA released a statement on Twitter. They regret conceding the fixture to Fermanagh. The reasons for this are genuine and revolve simply around the availability of enough fit players to play to fulfil this fixture. They said they only had a total of 13 outfield players. Now, Stephen Poacher did a number of interviews, the Leitrim manager, and said that there was a number of factors that went into this. Their two keepers clashed heads during the week and apparently both had concussions.
Yeah, but there's more than two keepers in the county. Every club team is going to have two keepers, never mind the county team.
I fully agree with you. How they couldn't have put a bat signal out to draft in a couple of players, or even, I would even put it out there that, you know, the Leitrim under-20s, I know, actually have a fairly sizable panel. They have up to 32 players, I think, involved. The players that aren't going to start against Galway, draft them in, play the game. And if you're going to make your point, if you're going to make your stance, play the game. Play the game with club players. Play the game with under-20s. And then afterwards do a press conference and say, it's not good enough where we've been left in Leitrim. If there are issues there in terms of fixture build-up and so on and so forth, I think that's how you make your stance and you make a proper stance about it rather than pulling it beforehand.
Lads, this is Ragbar Rover stuff. Like, you cannot, this is senior inter-county. You can't. Listen, we're going to just throw the game, Mick. And I get this. Like, people listening going, oh, there's a lad from Dublin, there's a lad from Kerry, what would they know about this? And that's fine. That's your opinion on this. This senior inter-county, we've seen the unbelievable scenes for Leitrim to get promoted from Division 4 last year. Narrow misses on Andy Moore was obviously we had a bit of an interest, more of an interest having known the work that Andy was doing. I'd known some people from Leitrim as well, and what it meant for them to get up to Division 3. It hasn't been easy for them since then. They've had an issue around the management side of things, filling that void when Andy stepped away. That wasn't ideal. I understand they've lost younger players, as lots of counties around the country are losing younger players. This is a wider debate to travelling, to work, the commitment for inter-county teams. Particularly with smaller playing pools, a county like Leitrim, that can be very, very difficult to manage. And I accept that. It's not an easy position to be in. But you cannot possibly have a team in the third tier, Division 3, arriving to a game in the National League and saying, we actually don't have a team. Like, injuries, lads travelling, get on to club players. It is the message that sends out. And this is very sad to say and sad to see. The message that sends out to the other teams around the country is that Leitrim is a bit of a laughing stock. And there's no joy in saying that. But for an inter-county team, senior inter-county team, to turn around and say, we can't field the team, that is, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. You have to do something by hook or by crook, as Jamie's get on the club players and at least play the fixture. I know it's going to be exceptionally difficult, but throwing the game is, lads, that it's just not acceptable. Like, you can't get around that. Like, and I know and they'll come back, and I'm sure people from Leitrim within the camp might say, piss off, you lads. He's having a clue what's going on. That's fine, but this is the perception around of Leitrim football now. To not feel the team, that is just not good enough. But you've got to get players on the pitch somewhere. Go down to the junior club teams, get guys and bring them up and play the match. Even if you need to field 15 players.
There was a line that stood
out. I'm not diverging off that. The game has to be played.
There was a line that stood out in the statement as well. We must stress that the Leitrim players were very keen to play this game if it was at all possible. But due to overall player welfare considerations and a duty of care towards the group for the greater good, we have had to take this unprecedented and unfortunate decision. In reality, we can find ourselves with only 12 players in the field tomorrow. I don't know. I think more questions are needed on this. I think that questions need to be asked of the Leitrim County Board and the Leitrim management of how it came to this position, like how we got to it. And they're even saying that they may not even fulfil the fixture against Sligo this coming weekend. They've already said that. Like, so how can, within that week, that there can't be a solution sought or more players drafted in? And I'm fully aware of the amount of players that have been lost in Leitrim in the last 6 months. Between emigration, between retirement. And there's a line in it as well that an inordinate amount of last year's panel had declared themselves unavailable for the 2025 season. And the current management team were appointed at the end of October, right? So we know the Mickey Graham situation. So, like, whether Mickey was in and he was appointed in August and he leaves 8 weeks later. Poacher and his management team are brought in then towards the end of October. I know they struggled to get anybody to fulfill Mickey Graham's position after that. But the decision, as you said, Paddy, and as you said, James, the decision not to field a team and to not go into the clubs. And there's phenomenal club players in Leitrim. Like, the Leitrim County Final has been shown live in TG Carr the last couple of seasons. And there's great games that are being shown. I'm sure there's older players that could have been drafted in. Players that have retired, they may have come out of retirement for a game. And then after that game, you make your statement. You make your stance. And that's where you say it. And that's where the message gets put through. And maybe you get a bit of cut through, but I don't know. It was just very disappointing to see the manner in which it came about the last couple of days.
Do you know, the greater good thing is funny because it actually harms the greater good from a Leitrim point of view, because I know that some counties have trouble retaining players, as you said, because other sports and job opportunities elsewhere and immigration, everything like that. But if you then show everyone that this is the way we do things, it's going to give you less chance of people wanting to play with the side long term. So I think they've actually harmed the greater good. That's why the statement just doesn't really make full sense.
Yeah.
Like, this is a senior inter-county team. Like, you know, an under 12 schools team does this type of thing. We can't field the team. Guys are away on holidays type thing. This is meant to be the highest level of football in Leitrim. An unbelievable, proud, traditional football county. And I'm sure there's people in the county going, that is. Like, it's only for us this series, it's a laughing stock.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. That, like, I just think that there has to, if they go into this weekend with the Sligo game, and I know they're relegated, but it carries on again, and so if you can't field the team this weekend, that can't happen. That cannot happen.
That was the insinuation at the weekend, that they couldn't commit to having a team available. That's according to Stephen Poacher on, I think it was Saturday morning, he was speaking to RT. Like, just to note, like, the Leitrim 20s are playing this weekend. It's an incredibly talented group of young footballers that are in Leitrim. Paul Honeyman is the star, who probably would have played senior football last year, but he was just too young. He was like Finbar Rorty and Donegal. They bet Mayo last year on the 3rd of April, 3-12 to 16 points in their second game. They had fallen just short against Galway, and they just fell just outside of the semi-final spots in the group stages of the Under-20 Championship last year. Like, a very good group of footballers. I'm sure they're going to put on a really good show again for the county at Under-20 level this year, and they are building something, and they had been building something. But it's just, a very disappointing weekend, I think.
And I
think the team themselves, and I think the county were let down a little bit by those that made the decision this week.
That's the progress that had been made in terms of getting promotion, underage work going on, all of that is nearly washed away with this type of decision.
I wouldn't say it's all washed away, but I think that.
Perception outside. I'm looking in there. If you're looking at Leitrim football now,
yeah,
you know, that's a team that they can't even field the team in the National League.
Yeah, it's incredible. Questions need to be answered there. Speaking of, and to just diverge just a little bit about the integrity of competitions and the sanctity of competitions, we have a Division One there where it feels like, or it felt like, certain counties didn't want to win games. Now, Jim McGuinness hit back very strongly at suggestions that Donegal took the field against Tyrone without the intention of winning at the weekend. He did make 11 changes, but he's adamant that he's trying to get as many players as possible up to speed. He's trying to get as many bodies as he can up to championship pace in time for the game. He only gave out two league debutants. He had Oran McFadden-Ferry back starting his first game since June 22. He had Michael Murphy starting his first game since June 22. So Donegal probably got a lot out of that game, even though they lost in Letterkenny to Tyrone at the weekend. And Tyrone have given themselves a chance.
Big win for Tyrone,
just a chance of staying up. But I just thought that was interesting to hear from McGuinness at the weekend, that we are not trying to lose games. But clearly.
He said last week, we have to do what's best for us.
He did.
Well, but no team is going out, going to the players, going, we don't give a shit about this match, lose the game. We know that. We've been in situations.
If you're going to win when you name your team.
Yeah, team selection, other guys get opportunities. Put it this way, was that Donegal at their strongest as you've seen so far this season? Absolutely not. And I think we'll see more of that across teams this weekend as well. We've said it all along with the National League this year. Coaches, no matter you're fighting relegation, you're fighting trying for promotion, whatever it is, you need your players to get exposed to these rules. Some players, you know, this is the first time they're seeing these rules at all. So teams are going to play different types of players. For Tyrone, for a weekend going to Letterkenny, I agree, Tom, the integrity of the competition, because if that was the first weekend, Donegal would have the full team out.
Mm.
You know, so they've got, but this happens in the league every year, lads.
It does.
You do see teams that are safe or teams that are through the league finals, getting a team in round 6 or 7 might be a great time to get them because you're not playing them at full strength. So that's what makes it hard to kind of call how these games are going to go. We're going to see lots of changes this weekend. Those teams in the middle tranches, kind of third, fourth, fifth place, they're going to use their squad in these games. We need to get these guys exposed to playing under these rules, these new conditions. So I think we're going to see more of it this weekend, I'd say.
Yeah, Division 1 is fairly precarious. James, we might just start with Tralee, because the All-Ireland champions came to town to face Kerry. Kerry had lost their two home league games before this one to Dublin and Donegal. It probably would have been unprecedented to go a league campaign and lose all home games from a Kerry point of view.
It would.
I certainly can't remember when that last happened. But before the ball was even thrown in, you knew that Kerry were there to, they weren't there messing around. Can you fill us in a little bit on
that? Well, the atmosphere, there was a titchy atmosphere in the ground. Like, Tralee was packed. Beautiful evening. Surface looked unbelievable. Half five throw-ins out, which was a lovely time. And straight away, McCabe, centre-back for Armagh, and Paddy Clifford hit the deck straight away. And you knew, like, sometimes you have to kind of lay down the marker that if your man is getting stuck on you, that you kind of let him know that you're there and that you're not going to be intimidated or anything like that. And there was a bit of a fight, and the crowd just kind of notched it up another level or two, and straight away then Kerry read it. And first attack, you could just tell they were hopping. Goal chance. Clifford has a shot, which is brilliant to save by Blaine Hughes. But it kind of set the tone for the first half, and Kerry just played some brilliant football, and Armagh did not get out of the gate at all. Like, Armagh did not show up, in fairness. They were poor. Grugan was outstanding for them. I think he ended up with about 7 points. But all the good performers of the day were from Kerry. Clifford was back. He ended up with 10. But I've seen a couple of the games over the weekend where teams are still running a lot of ball and hand-passing a lot. The one thing I would say about the Kerry last weekend, they kicked an awful lot of ball.
That was very noticeable.
It was beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful,
and like, to see. But I think the chemistry was, you could just tell that they've been kicking a lot in training, because very often there was no run made. It was just kick, turn, kick. And without really even looking, they kind of knew where Clifford was going to be or knew where Dylan Gainey was going to be, and they just put the ball kind of in front of them with no run. In fact, the inside forward's run was just pushing their man. So they're standing kind of maybe middle of the goals. The ball is out and maybe the 10 position. They weren't running out to the ball to try and make a big hard run. They were just literally pushing their man in the chest to get that yard, and the ball was just landing on them nearly standing still. I just thought it was lovely, because then there was a man off the shoulder and it was just effortless. So when the game is played like that, it looks so easy. I know it's not at all. Like, it's probably the hardest thing to do, but the chemistry of the Kerry forwards, I think, looked very good.
But it was noticeable to me, because this is what I thought the rules would bring straight away. That players can afford that move you just spoke about. You look at Tony Brosnan's score maybe the last 2 or 3 minutes, where Clifford, it's a kick pass out Clifford and into the D, and Tony Brown, like a textbook, like a diagonal, you draw it on a fucking whiteboard. But it was very hard to do that under the old rules, because there's so many bodies there. And I thought, with these rules, we get the 3-on-3s, teams are going to kick the ball all the time, just launch the ball in. I seen it an hour or two later in Croke Park with Dublin as well, very, very similar. Khan, Niall Scully, Cormac Costello, ball in the box 10 or box 12, diagonal into the top of the D, and it's like a training move, but there's space there now to do it. And maybe it's the better conditions, maybe teams are just getting a bit fitter, a bit sharper, players are getting more used to it. It is brilliant to see. I think we're going to see lots and lots of teams starting to do this now, but it was so noticeable from Kerry. I think I've seen every Kerry match in the league this year. First half, third quarter, maybe not so much. Maybe the credit to Armagh, they maybe came out of the blocks a bit better in the second half. But first half and the final quarter, that kicking from Kerry was, without a doubt, they've worked on it. So noticeable. Mm-hmm. Such a difference from the previous game. And when they do that, they are exceptionally hard to play against. And I thought it was Kerry's best performance by a mile so far in the season.
Not to go back to golf, but you know the way in golf they have these...
You need to get on the golf pad.
Yeah. You know the way they have these statistics. There was one I heard today that, like, McIlroy has the most strokes gained when the winds are over 20 miles an hour. So, do you know what I mean? Yeah, so...
I wonder,
will there one day be a stat in Gaelic football, like, the team most likely to score from one touch kick passes, because Kerry had multiple moves where it was like kick, receive, kick, receive, kick, receive. I'd say they got 5 or 6 scores from 2 to 3 kick passes where it was one touch gone.
We used to always say 2 kicks is a guaranteed score. If you like, if you can kick the ball
guaranteed shot. Twice, you get a guaranteed shot.
You guarantee shot, but yeah, you should be scoring. But like, I think Kerry were good, right? But Armagh really were way off it, lads, because they didn't really. I know before the ball was thrown in and there was a bit of a scuffle and all that, and it was like we're at it here, but they just didn't get close. And Kerry played Micheál Burns and Joe O'Connor on the wings. Mm. And the amount of space they got out there was insane. Because Armagh actually defended, I think, almost old rule style, where they got as many bodies they could around the D. Mm. Or maybe just about 30 yards out. But you're down 3, right? So I think the 3, they're definitely missing 1 out wide on one side, 1 out wide on the other side, and maybe 1 in the middle. So those 3... It's like there was a big hole in their defence. So they didn't kind of shuffle out or get across to the sides. And Joe and Micheál Burns, Joe ended up with man of the match. And Burns ended up having 2 goal chances, getting fouled for the penalty and kicking a couple of points.
Yeah.
So like, Armagh need to tweak that in the defence. Kerry on transition had the space out wide to kick to so often. But they could get around the back.
Is this what we're saying? You know, the first 4 or 5 rounds, we're seeing these big Royal Rumbles out in midfield for kickouts. And it was noticeable again, Kerry, anything out the middle, get the ball out with a kick pass straight away. Get it out of that zone as fast as possible. There was an obvious one. Micheál Burns, who was very good, he actually misses this opportunity. Mm-hmm. Kerry won a kick. And it's a fourth. Just don't even look. We know there's spaces out there. We have guys waiting out there for it. Just swing the boot at it and get a 40 yards out there, and he's going to deal with that. And that space, we're starting to see already the first signs of teams starting to come with tactics around. This was the big thing. Managers were losing their rag after round 5. There's no fucking tactics anymore. It's just kick the ball out the middle. Like, teams are already starting to figure it out. It was noticeable, not just Kerry at the weekend. Okay, if we get anything on it around the middle third, straight away kick pass out to the wings. Let's attack that space. So teams are going to start tweaking things. That's what I was saying. With all these rules, talks you have after 2, 3, 4 rounds, let teams figure it out a bit. Give it time to breathe and we'll see improvements. It was that Saturday night. That was noticeable from Kerry. Was it Keane O'Neill, Jack O'Connor? It was a tactic and it worked a treat. And Armagh, there was loads of reasons why Armagh lost the game. That was one element where they're a bit short in. But I thought overall, tactics aside, I thought Kerry just looked far sharper.
Yeah, well, Kerry aren't out of the woodwork yet. They're one of these teams that can get relegated and make a league final this weekend. So it's going to be very interesting. Jeremy O'Connor picking up a bit of a shoulder injury late on is not a good sign.
That's still
hard, isn't it?
But that, like, of all the fellas at the moment who are ultra important for Kerry, I mean, Dermot.
We lost Fenton, because you leave Dermot O'Connor off for a couple of games.
We've already lost Jack Barry to Melbourne Warriors or whoever he's gone playing football with over there. But. Like if Dermot goes out of the Kerry team, you're down your main competitor in the air. Like there's like Joe will probably be his midfield partner, but Jack actually moved him to wing forward to try and kind of bolster the aerial ability out wide. But like, if we lose that in the middle, it's going to be.
But he played on Jimmy for a few minutes after. Like the fact that he stayed on, kind of think, oh, maybe it's not that bad. I don't know, is that a good thing or a bad thing? But it looked. It just looks off the replay. You were at it, Jim, because you might have seen the replay of it, but he just landed straight down and looked sore. Like,
he does that. He competes in the air so almost carefree and reckless at times. Like, he'll go up, he'll catch it diagonally and just kind of fall. Like, he really does commit to every ball up there, and he's had some bad knocks when he's come down.
But he didn't get a chance. He didn't get to break it. He didn't get to break his fall at all. He just landed straight.
It, so. Yeah. But the thing with a shoulder injury, I think if you're on the middle, like, you need a lot of confidence in your shoulders to be competing in the air. Do you know? Like, you don't want to have a doubt in your mind. So they really want to make sure that he's right and do the rehab there to get back, because he's so important for us.
Well, it might not be bad though. Is there any chat?
We don't know yet.
It might just be a bang. It might be anything.
We don't know. Tom Sullivan still out, but on the way back. Darren Moynihan and Sean O'Shea are still out, but Jack O'Connor said Sean O'Shea shouldn't miss championship. It's a knee ligament issue. Kieran Macken returned for Armagh, which is a big one. And yeah, what a turnaround for that man. Did his cruciate the week of the Derry game last summer, and great to see him back. Joe McElroy made an appearance off the bench. And then the news came out that Rian O'Neill may not feature in 2025. So we might just leave that one to the side, because McGeaney's kind of been alluding them being in and being out and being in and being out. So very hard to know. But what a loss to Armagh if he's not about and he's not in the right space to play football this year. The Dubs, Stephen Cluxon makes a seasonal appearance. And James, without them being centre of the universe, the goalkeepers still had an impact. Niall Morgan and Rory Beggin. I was at the Monaghan game. I watched the Tyrone game. Niall Morgan and Rory Beggin still came out the field, but they had a fourth defender slip back in as they were involved in the play. But we saw Armagh decide to drop Ethan Rafferty and bring in Blaine Hughes. Maybe that was always the plan, you know, for round six. And maybe it was always the plan for Stephen Cluxon to appear once the rules had changed. Or maybe not. Maybe it's a coincidence.
Yeah, it was a bit rusty, lads. It was a bit rusty.
But, you know, a lot of the keepers this weekend got caught with that short kick out. They're trying it to the corner, but you still need to give it a good clip to get out there in time, because if it's held up in a bounce, the forward can come in and pick it, but the defender has to stay outside the big arc. So the forward can risk it all to go and get it. So there was a couple of goals that came off that this weekend.
Galway duffed a goal chance, which would have been massive for the start. Galway won a close to the first kick. That exact
Finnerty's
and Shane Walsh gambled, and the replay didn't really show it. It looked like a bad pass from Walsh, but then he was looking at Finnerty.
Finnerty was looking at Walsh.
And the replay didn't really show. It was a disaster.
Do you know what I'd love to see?
Should have been a goal.
We saw Pádraig Joyce giving the eyes to Finian O'Lee, you know, when he got that black card. I just wonder what sort of death stare the boys got at halftime, because he hooked them, and he says that he didn't hook them because of injury. He hooked them because they left 2-10 between them out there. Now, I don't know. Maybe he's taking his opportunity to say that, because I don't know with them. But
I think go ahead opportunities for that. But on that kick out, you're right. Klucko's first day out on it, he had a couple of kickouts, which is unlike him. But that was surprising. We've seen the teams coming in, and we're kind of asking last week, we're chatting about this game. Galway have probably been the best team so far across the country from what we've seen. And they went big with this game. Paul Conroy was back in. Matty Tierney, Killian McDade, Shane Walsh, could he carry on the form that he's shown in the first five rounds? So I was, despite my prediction of Dublin winning on the pod last week, I was worried Dublin were out to Kenny as well. But again, I thought it was a really good game. Again, the Croke Park factor, it just seems like maybe it's a bit more chaotic in Croke Park with these rules as well. That there was periods there, particularly the third quarter, Colbert come on for Galway, and it was like a basketball game. It was just up and down and up and down. And it looked at one stage that Galway were going to reel them in. But again, from Dublin's perspective, Bugler coming back, like
I said, Bugler's
space and speed and just direct running is going to be the name of the game this summer. Shane Walsh a little bit off for Galway, got a bit of a knock as well, so Pádraig Joyce will be more worried about that. I would say it looked like he got a bang before half time and then didn't come out for the second half, but for Dublin to get Bugler back,
yes,
he's in form of his life, lads. It's just he's cruising over the ground.
He loves the space.
Scully as well. And that thing I was talking about with Kerry, just the kick pass, that get it into the wings and then diagonal inside, because there's space there again. And Dublin got the memo as well the other night. They didn't get as much out of it maybe as they probably should have. They had a couple of opportunities, Khan in particular, maybe a couple of goal chances. He snatched at them, but it's brilliant to see. And what we're going to see in the summer, lads, is particularly when you get games into Croke Park and the Leinster Championship and then the All-Ireland Series, is goals are going to be on. Your full back line needs to be red hot to deal with this, because they're going to be bombarded and there's going to be space. So it's good defending, one-on-one defending is going to be critical.
Yeah, I had a good chat with Ryan Wiley about it. He reckons it's going to improve. Well, he reckons it's going to get better, because it's going to have to get better because it's going back to it. And he quite...
What's
going to
get better? The
one-on-one defending. The quality of one-on-one defending is going to get better.
He's always all right at himself now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And he did a really good job the weekend. James, John, hop in there, because I have one point I want to make after that.
I just want to say about Comer, because Comer and these new rules, he did not like the mass defences, But like Galway found it hard to get him into the game in some of those, in some of those big games where teams crowded him out. Galway found it hard to get him on the ball. Like, he is going to be licking his lips this year, because he's a brilliant ball winner. He runs for every single ball and every attack. He wants it, and all he thinks about is goals. Like, his first thought is to go at his man and have a shot at goals. Like, he is going to have so many chances. He's going to be like a Chico this summer. I think he's going to be.
But you look at his goal the other day. We're talking about that move, Jimmy. He's literally on Davy Byrne. There's not four or five lads around him. Galway breaks through and he just goes in to out.
Yeah.
And there's space. He doesn't have to do really any. It's not great defending, but just to do a whole pile to get that space. Bang. Top of the roof. Yeah.
But I worry, like, Comer had that double fullback line in pieces for the time he was on. Like, they were getting inside mark after inside mark goal chances. Like, I just think he's the one man who is going to be, he's going to be almost impossible to mark with the new rules.
That's interesting. And I'm sure we're going to get four versions of your target Dublin's full back line across the rest of the year this year.
But that was like the sixth one already, and it's
but Galway, second time this year.
You'll be ready at something. You'll be right once. Galway's use of the advanced mark has been really interesting. And even before Comer came in across the last couple of games, they probably used it more than anyone I've seen. Like Matthew Tierney was very unlucky not to have a goal. Tom Lahiff blocks it, he converts the point. John Myers then is allowed to stand.
Pass from Paul Conroy.
Oh,
for Tierney. Class. Don't let that one go under the radar, T. We want,
because talk to me, because it's not an outside of the boot one. It's an inside of the, it's an instep kind of punt, isn't it?
40 yards. It's dropped just over poor old Davy Byrne again. It's just dropped over his head. Beautiful pass. Beautiful. We'd love to see these things. The rules are promoting the skills. The most skillful players are going to stand out. That's what we want to see. Like, that, the 15 lads defending was great. Yeah, magic. Fair play to everyone. But I prefer what we're seeing now.
Paddy, you're in a full forward line, right? And you're after making a move. You're after shoving your man off. And
getting the arse out, yeah.
One of the Dubs are kicking it into you. Would you rather a Dermot Connolly outside it about spinner Paul Flynn punting it like Connolly did last?
I hated that one as well.
A punt is awful because it's wobbling.
McCauley,
I think like the instep. The instep. As well. Yeah.
Well, Connolly would like try and actually physically assault you with his pass. Flynn was fairly robust as well. McCauley put top spin with his ankle, whatever shin or whatever you hit it with. I prefer a Brian Fenton one bounce pass in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a nice little caress that into me there, and nice and easy. Nothing can go wrong.
Sympathetic pass. Sympathetic pass,
but Paul Conroy would be a man I'd like to receive a pass from.
Yeah.
Most certainly.
We should make a list like that.
Niall Scully the other night, beautiful kick pass. And again, these reels are seeing Scully come back to his form. Brian Howard was exceptional as well. We've seen it with Paddy Clifford up in Tralee against their man as well. Those beautiful 40-yard kick passes. They're all on now. They're all there. The space is there to be exploited. And the weather's better. Beautiful sunshine. We're going to see more of it. It's going to be beautiful to watch over the next couple of months.
Paddy, so you're off the ball breakfast tomorrow, aren't you?
Tuesday morning. And it's very early.
You're making.
I know, I'm up early with the little fucking guy. That is early. What? Fuck.
I'm on too, right? And I'm going to ask you.
You're on at the end. I've already done.
No, I'm not. I'm on at 8 o'clock. And then I'm on the road to Croke Park.
I've been there from 6.
There's an event at Croker tomorrow. I'm on at 8. But what I'm saying to you is, I'm going to ask you. There is the John West Fela launch tomorrow. So I'd be
up
with
that. Against the Fela, Jimmy. I know you hate the Sigerson, but Fela's a great tournament as well.
So I'm going to ask you tomorrow.
Fela is perfect. Great competition.
Fela's fantastic. I'm going to ask you tomorrow for the five footballers you'd love to receive a pass off. So just keep it under your hat till then, and I'll ask you tomorrow about it. James.
Thanks for giving me a heads up.
James, I have a theory that. It's very difficult to actually make this prediction right now. Okay, and I know, you know, you're looking at the odds and you're looking at the players that are playing well, and you're thinking who might win Footballer of the Year. And I'm not going to give you a player. I'm going to give you a style of footballer. I think a footballer of the ilk of Sean Bugler or a Stephen O'Hanlon, a fella who's going to take players on and exploit the space, is going to either be a contender or B, be absolutely in the mix to win Football of the Year this year. I'm not sure it's going to be a two-point merchant, or it's going to be a goal-getter in the full forward line, or it's going to be an All-Ireland winning cornerback or a midfielder.
Ryan McHugh. I think. Ryan McHugh, that type of player.
I wonder with a linebreaker, because I was so impressed with Stephen O'Hanlon in the Meath Monaghan game at the weekend. I'm not sure if you caught any of this.
O'Hanlon, he's caused us a bit of havoc back in the day as well. Speed is horrible, lads.
He's played a lot of basketball underage, and his family would have been involved in a lot of basketball. I know he works in and around S&C as well. His speed from his explosion from a standing start, it's just like, it's nearly like Duffer back in the day. Duffer would slow down and then bang, he'd be gone past you.
There's better ones than Duffer. Where did you pull Duffer out of? Are you watching Chelsea?
No, what I mean in that he can nearly snare you in by slowing down his pace, and then he just explodes by you. But really, really impressed me this weekend, and the dynamism of that Monaghan attack really stood out. They racked up 129 again. They're the top scorers in the country. But fellas like that, I don't know, James, like it's lethal having lads like that in the team.
Definitely. And as well, those fellas are very beneficial to teams who do kick the ball. Like, it's just say a Bugler or a Hannon there. If the ball is kicked into the full forward line, they have the legs to make up the ground to be the next pass off the shoulder and have the goal chance. So, you know, the full forward line might just be the ball winners, you know, unless they obviously get the mark, they might go for goal themselves. But, like, if you have that player with those engines, that huge engine up and down the field who's hungry for a score, them getting off the shoulder off the inside line, they could rack up big scores in the summer. Definitely, I agree. That was actually the first thing that the lad said to me about the new rules from Kerry. They were like, the middle eight players are scoring heavily. Okay. It, you know, because they're just bombing. As the ball is moving, they're just bombing. They want to be the third man runner off the shoulder, and they're getting the scores. So I think I agree with you, Tom. That said, I do still think if we're talking player of the year territory, it has to be an inside forward this year. Has to be. Of all the years, when it's 3-on-3 inside, it has to be.
Who was Footballer of the Year last year? Who won Footballer of the Year last year?
Conroy.
I think a runner. But look at the space. Like if you look, take Bugler, for example. He's man of the match for four Dublin's games. Like, look where he's getting all his scores from as well. Like, they're all literally in front of the post. Top of the D, like. You know, it's that. Nearly like, remember if Jimmy used to play, like you'd have the triangle inside, like the two lads deep and a point fella, like, and he was nearly a link player kicking the ball in because there's three or four bodies around him. Now there's no one there. There's literally just a gap in the middle of the pitch. And if you've speed and you time your run and teams again, this is like forward units, that cohesion, identifying that and just go, this is the guy. If we get the ball, he's coming at pace. Mm-hmm. And it's been such a tool for Dublin. Have used it really, really well. You're thinking, I know we say Oisin Conaghy, we say not as much the other night because Kerry were just dominant. But I think that type of player could have, will have a massive say on the championship. A runner from deep, because you're running into space now. And if you've got skills to finish it, that's what I'm thinking. Ryan McHugh and Donegal, and O'Hanlon, but what about Conor McCarthy?
Yes.
Conor McCarthy, Monaghan as well, coming from wing back.
Defensively, Meath sat way too deep, and they allowed they allowed the likes of O'Hanlon and McCarthy to get a run on them. Robbie Brennan said this afterwards as well. They allowed the two-pointers to just be stroked over the bar. Jack McCarron is brought on as a sub, and I know in the beginning he picked this out, but I thought it was quite noticeable watch from the sideline as well. There was an injury to Killian Lavelle about 10 minutes in, a four-minute delay. There was two huddles called, and from speaking to Gabriel Bannigan after the game, I was like, what? Like, he surely said something here, because the game changes after that. And he was like, we just asked the boys that they started playing. Like, Have you even started, lads? And after that, 5 2-pointers and a goal in the next 10 minutes and it's game over. Momentum is totally with them. But the amount of space that McCarron had for his first touch, two-pointer, he's calling for the ball off Began for about 7-8 seconds beforehand, 50 yards out. And likewise, Bannigan, loads of space. Mohan strolled up the field and struck one over as well. So that deep, sitting back deep defensively, into the shape like Armagh did in their game as well, like Down have done in a couple of games.
Conditions get better, Tommy. Those 40-metre kicks are easy peasy now as we can move into summer.
Paddy, question to you, right? Only 5 forwards in the last 15 years have won Footballer of the Year. I would classify 4 of them as being inside forwards. Give me the 4.
Five forwards since what's the cutoff?
In the last 15 years, since 2010, 5 forwards have won Footballer of the Year. I classify them 4 of them.
Right. David Clifford.
Okay.
Gooch never won it. Bernard Brogan, David Clifford. Do you notice, Jimmy?
I know it. Well, you're missing two obvious ones. Your football knowledge after taking a real fucking hit.
Oh, God. No.
Please
just
rip
me. You're going to edit this.
So this is the clip, Pat. Think of people you know. Yeah, think of people you know in Gaelic football outside of Dubs. You may have worked with the two of them.
Did I? Murph. Murph didn't have football here. Did he?
You have to get a bang in the head.
Think of your main media platform, not your secondary media platform.
I'm looking at him. Him, James, Tommy Bow, the Gordon McIlwain win fucking football here. Jimmy Clifford, Burno. Who else? 76.
He was the same age as Paul Conroy when he won it.
Andy. Hmm. Andy won it, yeah, 17.
Because I'd have always classified.
And there's no more.
Well, no, Alan Brogan's is a half forward.
Alan was 11, yeah. But he was centre forward.
Why was I thinking
way longer? I was counting like Gooch didn't win it, and I was like, who else fucking won the All-Ireland then?
Well, I'm glad James actually realised it was him, because there was about 10 seconds there, James, you were thinking.
Jimmy knows, like, do you know?
I was like, I had Andy, and I was like, yeah.
Right, okay, well, we'll see who wins it this year.
I'm fucking Tommy Bowler.
I'm not. Right. We're going to take a quick break, lads.
Last 10 years.
We're taking a quick break and we're coming back 15 minutes. So, Football Pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. AIB are going to be bringing us on the road a couple of times this year. And we're looking forward to filling you in on that one once more. We'll be back right after this, looking at the rest of what happened at the weekend and quickly looking ahead to round 7 of the National Football League. There's so much to be decided. We'll also have a members pod on Wednesday for you to get stuck into as well. I'm still top of the pod picks table. We're back after this.
Are your ulcerative colitis symptoms proving difficult to manage? Tremvaya guselkumab can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. At 1 year, many patients taking Tremvaya achieved clinical remission, and some patients also achieved endoscopic remission. Individual results may vary. Tremvaya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor if Tremvaya can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremvayaRadio.com.
There are some things in life that just shouldn't be forgotten, like bringing your keys when you leave the house, setting your fantasy lineup, and most importantly, having Hidden Valley Ranch to watch the game. Especially if you're having pizza, those creamy, zesty, cool ranch flavors take each cheesy, melty bite to an unforgettable level. Hidden Valley Ranch, only serious about flavor.
OTB GAA.
Okay, some of the things that were confirmed this weekend. You're welcome back, by the way, to the Football Pod. Derry are relegated. Westmead are relegated. I was driving cross country on Saturday evening and I had Midlands on for the perfect amount of time. They were cutting between two brilliant games of football. You had Leash and Clare, you had Westmead and Down. The two games were on commentary. They were cutting between one commentary team to another. Drama in both of these games were off the
chart. Lee shafted me on the picks, lads.
There was nearly 100 points scored. There was there four goals scored as well. Leash 121, Clare 222. Clare scoring the last 1-6, I think, without reply. Or maybe the last 6 points without reply to win that one. Paddy, you say you were shafted. Should have listened, pal. And then Down, 126.
Leash had the game won. It was over. Jesus Christ.
There was a very good performance by Leash and McNulty's side, but Clare just about held on to win. But results later on has taken promotion out of their own hands. And then Down, again, Westmead have been beaten after the hooter. This time, the hooter sounded. There was one play left. It was a draw game, and it was a fisted point.
Are Westmead the most unlucky team in the country this year?
Hang on. I'm struggling with the hooter situation.
Okay.
How was the hooter going off in the game? Carrying on.
So that was tweaked in the amendments during the week.
It's gas.
rugby.
You can't do that.
Like the rugby.
I was watching the Mayo game. The hooter went off. Mm-hmm. I thought they didn't hear it. They played on, and next thing Jordan Flynn gets a goal.
It's one play after the hooter goes, Jim.
The ball goes dead.
We actually saw in Meadham Monaghan, the ball has to go dead as a sideline or as a wide. And one of the Monaghan players booted it out over the end line for a 45.
Oh, no.
And then Billy Hogan got it. Now, there was 9 points in it, and Hogan's wide.
His own wide.
Yeah. So ended up playing the 45. And then you obviously saw in the Kerry Armagh game, the fans stormed the field. And I think Tony Brosnan had the ball in his hand, and he looked like he wanted to go for a score. And he was just like, just put it out.
You had enough scores. You got three or four scores after Leinster. Tony, put up the boots now. Go on.
So Westmeath are down to Division 3. And who's going to join them is not very clear at the minute, because there is nothing decided apart from that in Division 2 at the minute. You've got the potential for Down, Loud, Cork and Cavan to all go down still. And then Cork, Cavan, Mead, Roscommon and Monaghan can all earn promotion. Monaghan are in the driving seat. They're on 10 points, but they're facing a Down side that are fighting for their lives. Down are on 4 points, Loud are on 4 points, Cork are on 6 points. They're still not safe. Sorry, did I mention Cavan could go down? Cavan can't go down.
Mr. Till is an absolute...
Cavan can go up.
Cavan can go, I thought they could do both, but they can't go down. So Cavan can go up. Anything can happen in Division 2. We've got Monaghan against Down. We've got Loud against Mead. We've got Westmeath against Roscommon. Westmeath already down. And Cavan against Cork. We're not going to preview these games. We'll do that in our members' pod. But the way I see it is, Monaghan, if they get the job done against Down, will be on 12 points. And then if Roscommon, Mead and Cavan all win, they'll all be on 10. And then it'll come down to score difference. And Roscommon are 9 points clear of meter.
We said at the start, Rossi's a Monaghan will go up, and Rossi's a Monaghan will go up.
That's the most likely at the moment, but we'll dig a bit deeper into that later in the week. Division 3 then. Okay, so Leitrim relegated. They've already thrown that game against Fermanagh. We'll see the field against Sligo this weekend. Antrim beaten by Sligo at this weekend in Corrigan Park. I think it was 3 points in the end. They were in the mix late on. They'd done well to get back into it. They're all but relegated at this stage. Leash have them on the head-to-head. They're on 6 points. Sligo at home to Leitrim. You'd imagine they'll get that job done. And Andy McInney sort of conceded after the game that they're all but down this weekend.
Bit of an uptick from Sligo, though, to be fair. We said they're a very slow start to the league campaign, but they've got a little bit of momentum going the last couple of weeks, to be fair to them.
Yeah, I'd hung my hat on them at the start to get promotion, but they're obviously now in around 5 points. So promotion in Division 3 this weekend. I haven't got my markings yet from Off the Ball, but my hope is that I'll be in Cusick Park for Clare and Offaly. Clare need to pull off.
Is that a straight shootout? I was going to ask you at the start. Clare could win by 9 points.
And it's not enough. Yeah, because you'd imagine Kildare will beat Antrim, who are essentially already relegated. That would bring Kildare to 10 points alongside Offaly. Offaly are playing Clare, who are on 8. Offaly are on 10. Offaly have a superior score difference. So if three sides end up on the same amount of points, which would be if Clare win, Kildare win, Clare will have to beat Offaly by 11 at least to overturn that score difference.
We might touch on this next week after this happens, but we haven't mentioned Mickey Hart gone into Offaly there.
Yeah.
Beck and Kelly. Looking likely that they'll be promoted.
Superb. Jeez, and the lads, I'm looking forward to chatting. The lads still do their interviews with each other, Declan and Mickey, together. They've been doing it with Off the Ball like that. So I'm looking forward to getting a chance to chat to the two of them at once. Leash and Fermanagh aren't out of the promotion shouts there either. But they'd need a lot of results to go their way for that to come off. But I think Clare Offaly this weekend is going to be one to keep an eye on. It's going to be a good game of football. There might be a few 2 point efforts late on if Clare are chasing that score difference and they're up. So it'll be interesting.
Clare are unlucky there because they'd have almost thought that Kildare would beat Offaly and they'd have the shootout then the weekend just to win.
Yeah.
So that result kind of went against them. An unbelievable win by Offaly, a great win and deserved, but Clare, that wasn't what they thought was going to happen, I imagine.
Clare Kane is devil there.
Dylan Hyland kicked 1-9. Clare still obviously have an opportunity to play Sam Maguire football this year, but I think promotion to Division 3 will be the big one for them. To Division 2, sorry. Division 4 then. We knew that Wexford were already promoted, but they've retained their perfect record so far in league football. Ben Brosnan, still doing it, lads. Like, this man could have retired and hopped on a podcast 6 years ago. and he'd have been he'd have been already
he's in a bear gig
in Wexford, but like late on kicks the winner. I think Wexford scored the last 1-6. Just really impressive promotion. They were devastated last year. I think it was a controversial penalty decision that went against them that kind of blew it up from last year. But they've done the job this year. They've made sure they've left nothing down to chance. And then Limerick and Wicklow, it was the shootout we had in the pod picks. James Wentworth and Ockram. Wicklow, hard to beat them in Ockram. And Limerick laid on to James Nocton point. Now, unfortunately, certain county boards and county grounds haven't implemented the Hooter system. So the Hooter system was not in play in the Wicklow-Limerick game. And Oisin McConville reckons that if it was in play, time would have been up and James Nocton's point wouldn't have been allowed. So,
but sure, they'd have had to see out the attack.
But you know, no. There's no, as in you're at the referee's discretion. Like the clock and Hooter system wasn't in play in that game. So it's as if the referee allowed one more play essentially in the game is sort of what they're saying. So like it was before. Mm. So that's Division 4. Waterford, Jason Curry kicked 11 points as Waterford got their first win of the year. They bet London. Wicklow and Limerick can both earn promotion, but Limerick are in the driving seat. They're facing Waterford at home and Wicklow are away to Tipperary, who would be disappointed to have let their opportunity slip at the weekend as well. Carlow had a big win against Longford too. So yeah, some big results at the weekend. Cork pulled out a massive win when they needed it against Louth. But they're in that space that we've been in for a long time. They're getting stuck in Division 2 for quite a bit. They're not safe yet, but they're also not safe for Sam either. So they're away to Cavan this weekend. So it'll be interesting to see how that one goes. If Cork do beat Cavan...
That's a tough game for Cork to be.
Yeah, it is a very tough game for Cork. But if Cork beat Cavan, they'll be up on 8 points. But Cavan have just really impressed me in this league campaign so far. They've turned it around.
After their start, which was popular.
They are disappointing to defeat the Monaghan and disappointing to defeat the Meath, but they've won their other games. So
but you know, being in two is no harm either, because at least in two, you know that everyone is fighting for something. And it's like, as the league goes on, it becomes more similar to Championship, when teams are fighting for promotion and relegation and want to actually win the competition.
There's a good quality there still, yeah.
Whereas in Division, like the integrity of Division 1 is shot. Because you could go down just because of your fixtures. You could be playing someone who was actually going hard at it at the start of the year and be beaten by them. And then by the end of the year, they're pulling up and putting out 11 changes.
Both team.
So, I do you know what? I don't think being Division 2 is a downside. Hey, at least you're playing
championship. Well, we see 3 years in a row, All-Ireland champions from Division 2.
Could do.
No,
not happening.
No.
Don't put words in my mouth. James, league medals, did they matter to you?
We were always struggling. How many league finals did I play? I lost to Mayo, I lost to Dublin, and
beat us one. It wasn't in the 17.
I missed that final, so I don't think I got a medal. Oh, do you get a medal if you don't play the final?
Your Wikipedia says you have.
I think so. Yeah, I'd say you do.
I did that Wikipedia page.
Christina did that from me.
No, I remember I always wanted to get to the final to play in Croke Park. That was the thing that excited us. We were like, you know, let's get to Croke Park. It's like season really kicks off. If you get the final, get to Croke Park. But we never really set out to win the league, I don't think. Maybe the year we won it, we gave it a good rattler right that year. Yeah. But it was always just about getting right, really.
Eamon McGee always says he's quick to remind anyone who leaves off the 2007 Division 1 title that Donegal won from his CV. He reminds them that was a massive thing for that group and that team, and he treasures that. Yeah, it's like, you know, and you hear what McGuinness is saying about putting the team first, and obviously they're not, as he says, trying to lose games, but they're not chasing it either. And it's, can you blame them given where the proximity of the league? We've kind of done this conversation already.
Yeah, I
think the integrity of the competition has been affected by the proximity.
It's shot.
By the proximity to the league finals. It's a pity. It really is a pity.
It's a joke.
It's a pity.
League medals matter, lads. Come on.
You can't say that though, because they obviously don't. To teams now, if like no one wants to win it, they even though we're having the competition,
like what McGee has said there, like you only play three fucking competitions, like
yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like And sure, if the league doesn't matter, and sure, the Leinster Championship doesn't matter, sure, nothing matters then. It's just the All-Ireland, that's it. Like, I think you look back, I remember some of our league finals, particularly our first one, we bet Tyrone and 13, like Dino comes off the bench, kicks two scores in the last 2 minutes and wins. Massive crowd. That was massive for us. We played some brilliant ones against Yee Jimmy. The 100-year anniversary of 1916, we beat you in that final, full house. And then you guys beat us the following year. It meant when we lost that one, like that meant a lot to us. So I think you look back in your career, you play lots of games. We're playing national finals in Croke Park. I think it's a shame. I agree with you. I think the league has been put in a position where it is being undervalued by the GAA because of the structure they've put on it. And coaches are having to make a choice between the benefit of the championship or the league. And so we know that they're always going to go on the championship side. But I don't think they should be put in that position in the first place. I think players, the competition to go and win and get into a league final after 7 games, going away, playing some of your toughest rivals away from home, having to get results, then getting into Croke Park and have to play one of the top teams again and win it. I think that's a brilliant thing to have achieved, to have done. So I'm disappointed, and I've said this so many times, that we're in a situation now where teams are being made to choose between throwing their arse at the end of the league and the championship. That's not right.
Yeah. Boys, we might just leave it there. Right, and I think we're all in agreement on that one, Paddy, that the room has to be found somewhere for that one. But we're, James, it's Monday night, it's late. Are you going to get a late gym session in?
Yeah.
He's been on the beer for 2 days. Going near the gym.
Calves and triceps today.
I want to put him on the spot here.
He's doing calf raises there in the gaff.
No, honestly, I'll tell you what. Really heavy, I'm joking about calves and triceps, whatever, but really heavy, heavy calf stuff is a game changer.
Yeah?
Because my calves, I'm serious. I'm telling you.
God, you're full of shit. You've like a twin calf slip. You have tiny little calf slip.
My calves are like Jack Grealish's calves.
Oh my God, embarrassing. Look. You can't even wear shorts. Beautiful. Jimmy's not allowed to wear shorts anymore.
You know, I've not gotten into the shorts scene. Do you know what, my fellas are wearing shorts these days, no matter what the weather?
If they've got great calves, like, and quads, like myself.
I'd be...
You'd be in the short scene. Like,
well, if I'm out and about and I'm not going anywhere in particular, yeah.
But if it's freezing cold?
Well, I might, you know...
Got great legs, Jim. You got to show them off, man.
Get a good jacket on, man, you know?
That's a contradiction. You're wearing shorts and a big jacket.
What if you wanted to go for an impromptu run or you wanted to kick a bit of ball or something?
Nobody wants to go for an impromptu run.
Okay, maybe not.
I actually think I have to play a match this weekend, I think.
What?
First time in 4 years.
No.
Yeah.
New rules.
Fuck, I don't know about that.
Masters?
I believe there's a match going on up in Oma on Saturday night.
Oh, wow. You're playing that one. Okay.
So I believe. Have you seen
this? Did you get the nod from Muggsy?
I think we organised it.
Who did?
I think the Dubs are heavily involved in it. Pat Gilroy is organising it. Okay. For a great cause. I think it's going ahead now, yeah. So I might be stretchered in next Monday for a show. We'll have to wait and see.
Did you brilliant. Never want that's to play it, the Masters it. Or what you call that, the over 30?
I guess over 40. I'm only 34, Jimmy. I can't play the Masters for over 6 years. Like.
You're 35, yeah?
34!
you cannot 34 because I'm 35 in June and you're definitely... 2 years older than me.
No, in my head, I'm wiser than you. I accept that. But no, I'm 24.
I'm 28.
I can hardly walk now. Never mind. Hey, unfortunately.
Boys, my idea last year, it hasn't caught fire yet, but Railway Cup, bring it back for the 30s to 40s. The recently
you
retired.
Need to keep
football.
Pushing that. You need
yeah,
to keep pushing
I'm going to keep pushing it.
Vegas.
I want a voice note from the gym later. Paddy.
He's not going to the gym. He's literally Paddy, been on the beer. He's literally better, crying out there in front of my eyes.
You better get a couple of reps in during the week if you're going to be playing that game at the weekend. You're going to fill us in as well. It's for Gaza, isn't it? At the weekend, that
Palestine,
game?
Palestine, yeah.
For
yeah.
Palestine up in Oma. So
I'll get more details. We're recording during the week.
Yeah, we're back
it's a big
Wednesday.
Fundraiser. There's a lot of brilliant work going on in the background. I will come prepared for that on Wednesday for all our listeners. All sport welcome. Legends from Tyrone. Legends from all Dublin teams. Great night in Ome on Saturday night before the Dublin-Tyrone game on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, bring the boxing gloves to that one, I'd say.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's what I'm worried about. I might just watch. I might just do it. And the gumshoes. The Mark and Peter Canavan, I think.
You can tell Pat Gilroy he's welcome on the pod on Wednesday if he wants to give it a plug as well. So, Paddy Andrews.
I'll say it to Patrick, yep.
James O'Donoghue, thanks for the chat this Bank Holiday Monday. Thanks to everybody at home for tuning in. An unbelievable weekend of football just gone. A brilliant one to follow with so much to be decided. We will talk to you again in our members' pod on Wednesday. Cheers, boys.
Cheers, boys.
Good night, friends. Enjoy the gym, Jimmy.
Yeah. Will do.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Are your ulcerative colitis symptoms proving difficult to manage? Tremfya guselkumab can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. At 1 year, many patients taking Tremfya achieved clinical remission, and some patients also achieved endoscopic remission. Individual results may vary. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor if Tremfya can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.